That's the second time my uncle caught me.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because that's a similar story to the third time I got diagnosed with the super clap. Oh shit, an episode.
Hey! Anyway. Black Tower Podcast!
Ladies and gentlemen and our live listeners, welcome to another spicy episode of the Black Tower Podcast. I am your Bajan Mahel, Andrew.
And I am your Suravan Mahel, Josh. And it's a spicy meatball.
Yeah. We are joined in spirit by our Amankad Mahel, Daniel, who is on vacation this week. Well deserved, well earned. Yeah, he put in his leave request a while ago. You know, it was hard for us to approve, but we finally approved it at the cost of docking 50% of his pay for the week, which is zero anyway.
I mean,
because we don't get paid.
We feel like that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. We get paid in your tainty love and admiration. Maybe not the admiration, but the love. We feel the love tonight. It's spelled sex in the stars. I've seen the movie. But
I love it.
Perfect. We've got a fantastic guest for this episode, and we'll introduce them here in a moment. But let's go ahead and knock out some of these plugs. Sorry for the quick interruption, but just wanted to take a second to make sure you knew about blacktowerpod.com. It is our very own website with very handy links for you to access all of your favorite Black Tower podcast stuff. Whoa, a break-in during a break-in for a plug? Yes, Patreon. It's a fantastic place for you to support your favorite content creators. For as little as a dollar a month, you can throw some support our way and help us continue what we're doing here at the Black Tower podcast. That dollar a month will get you into our live recordings. We will also shout you out during an episode, and you get access to record a spoiler warning for our episodes that we will use. There are some other perks like our Sword and Dragon Challenge coins that you can only get by being a Patreon member. And there are perks as far as getting some different random merchandise from us and things like that. Go on over to our Patreon and check it out. And we thank you again. Now, what was the other plug I was doing? Do you want to post in the forums on the website? There's a button for that. Do you want to join our Discord and talk to us there? There's a button for that where you can just click and join the Discord right there. One click and done. Do you want to check out our merch? There are buttons for those. If you want to see what we've been doing recently, there's a section called Dragonsworn On Demand, a calendar for the Black Tower. We thank you so much for checking it out. And now let's get into the episode.
Recently, we added the pictures that we have from JordanCon 2021 on the site. So you can go and watch those as part of a slideshow if you want to kind of see what imagery we captured. If you have pictures that you took with us that you'd like for us to add, just send them to us and let us know, and we will definitely do that, because
absolutely thing we can do. Please do that. The bigger that photo album is, the better it is, because we all are having withdrawals from JordanCon.
Yeah, and it's been almost 2 months.
It's been 2 months since my last JordanCon.
Sorry, it was in July.
My name is Josh. I'm a JordanCon addict.
It's a great place where you can go and you can get a playlist of our 5 most recent YouTube videos, which are not always mirrored by our audio episodes, because we do BTP Reacts as a YouTube exclusive thing, and there is a new one of those up where we sat down and talked with our other co-founder of the podcast, Aaron, about the promise of a Wheel of Time TV trailer. As well as the first poster teaser with Moraine and the Waygate and all that funny stuff. But there's also sometimes some exclusive audio only episodes up there as well, that you can see the 5 most recent of our audio only episodes there under Dragonsworn On Demand, as well as links to our Patreon, which we hit 30 patrons on. So thank you so much for your incredible support, guys. It's amazing. It is 31 more patrons than I ever thought we would ever have. Actually, 32. It's true. We'd be negative patrons, honestly. Like, oh, we need to pay other people because we have a patron.
We need to pay other people.
So on that same train of thought, we do have a new patron to shout out. So thank you so much to Phoenix for joining our Patreon. Welcome to the Black Tower. Congratulations on your instant promotion to the rank of dedicated, and we hope that it's all you ever lusted and tainted for and more. And
just thank you, Phoenix.
Probably more.
You are a true champion, and we appreciate your patronage.
Yeah. So starting this episode, start looking at the end credits of the episode on YouTube, and you should see your name in the appropriate rank category, as well as the name of all of the other patrons, unless you have requested that we don't post your name anywhere, which we are more than happy to accommodate. We love our anonymous supporters as well. You know who you are, and you're no less.
You know what we should do? We should have a category for them, and I'm spitting it right now. I'm going to throw it out there right now. And if you guys like this idea, leave it in the comments that you like this idea. But we should have a category of Patreons that is Black Tower Eyes and Ears. And then, like, instead of posting a name, we could just post like dash, dash, dash. Like,
just put up redacted.
Like, redacted. Yeah. Like, a
just CIA go through different thing. Things like redacted. That's interesting. You know, all the different phrases we use when we can't actually say what we want to say.
Because I know we got a couple of them that are like that, that were like, hey, you know, I want to support you guys. You guys are awesome. But I don't really want you to talk my business all over the internet. So if you guys like that idea, we'll go ahead and make that our eyes and ears, and let you guys know that we got a Black Tower Eyes and Ears.
Yeah. With that, our milestone was 30 to standardize the months where we send out our physical Patreon benefits. So that is something we're going to be working on once Daniel gets back from vacation. We make all of our Patreon decisions together as a group. And let's be fair, 99% of the decisions we make together as a group. So once Daniel gets back and we can sit down and talk about it, we'll standardize the months that the stickers come out, that the 6 and 3 month merch comes out, all that kind of stuff comes out. And we'll post that both in the Patreon section of our Discord, as well as the Patreon itself, so that everybody is aware when you're going to get your fantastic great captains, as we've interpreted them, stickers, thanks to Tree's amazing artwork.
Check out that artwork. Super cool. Yeah.
But and while you're still on blacktowerpod.com, scroll down to the bottom and you will see our official sponsor. That is, of course, the Crystal Barista. That is Josh's better half.
Sorry to cut in again, but we got to take a second and thank our channel sponsor, the Crystal Barista. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and check out all of the amazing rocks and minerals and the tools for rock hounding if you want to do it on your own that you can find there. If you want to do subscription boxes, Crystal Barista also offers monthly subscription boxes that are delivered directly to your door and hand-packed by Crystal Barista with the assistance of our own Sorvan Mahail, Josh. Also, make sure you check out Crystal Barista's Facebook page at facebook.com/rockpick. That's pick as in pickaxe with a K at the end, for all of the amazing deals that the Crystal Barista does do from time to time. It's also the same place where if you're in the local area, you can see posts and updates about coming events. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and then check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/rockpick. And when you're done getting everything you could possibly desire from crystalbarista.com, make sure that you let the Crystal Barista know the Black Tower Podcast sent you. Now, back into the episode.
Pay attention to Twitter and the Discord and all that kind of stuff. And soon the website as well. Once we get it all put together and up, there'll be information about the Gathering Madness 2021 coming out, as well as the form to RSVP and all of that fantastic stuff. Patrons, you've already gotten to look at the official flyer and the schedule for it, as well as some explanation of kind of what some of the things mean and what's going to be in it. And as a patron, you already know that you're going to get to choose the hot sauces that we do for the Taste of Taint Challenge on the 15th.
That's right. That's right. The hot sauces is open to the world. Anybody in the world can put a contender on the list, but it will be up to our patrons to take responsibility and find out which taint we are putting in our mouths.
Yep. So if you haven't seen our tweets asking for that, as well as the mixology contest submissions, make sure that you follow us on Twitter at Tower Podcast, and we'll tweet out stuff like that as much as we can. Join our Discord. All of the links and stuff are there, and we post them and try to remind people about them as much as we can, because we enjoy your suggestions and submissions, and it honestly just makes this 10 times more fun than it would be us just trying to come up with stuff by ourselves. Like, some of the names already for the suggested drink recipes are already kind of blowing my mind, because they're really
so
cool
exciting.
Names.
I was so excited.
But so you didn't come to listen to us talk about plugs. This isn't officially a Gathering Madness episode, This is instead a Wheel of Time episode. But before we get into the topic, we have a guest this episode, a fantastic guest. He's been on the show before as part of our YouTuber panels in the past, but now we have him just to ourselves. We don't have to share him with any other YouTubers for at least the next hour or so. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the people that I guarantee already know you, the fantastic Lauren of Unraveling the Pattern.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for being here.
I equipped my Perrin shirt. You see that?
I see it.
Because Perrin talks to the bears.
Because he's a bear brother.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's been a little bit of a trick getting me scheduled, and I'm glad that we could finally get together and hang out.
We're nothing if not tenacious. Tricks?
Oh, yeah, that one.
I don't know if I really need to introduce myself. I'm just a guy who loves the Wheel of Time, and I make some videos on the internet about the Wheel of Time.
You made our intro video kindly.
Yeah, I made that.
And you made the kind of the teaser kind of trailer thing that we used leading into season two that we showed for the first time, I think, at the Gathering Madness last year.
At the Gathering Madness last year, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did
do that. You do amazing graphics work, not just for other content creators, but your entire channel is an amazing portfolio of just epic graphics work, epic narrations, and an epic beard and hair ensemble.
It is true. It is true. I'm feeling a little insecure right now about my beard.
Oh, I was actually thinking of getting a haircut today before this, but didn't have the time. But thank you. No, I love making videos. I'd rather not be on camera most of the time. I much prefer just narrating, being behind the scenes. But
well, you also have a lovely voice, so that works out well.
Thank you.
Welcome to Black Tower Podcast ASMR with Lauren from Unraveling the Pattern. This is,
and now Lauren will crinkle some paper.
Ready?
Here we go.
I don't even know. Catching that.
No, but thank you for being here for us tonight. We appreciate you having here, everybody. If you want to go see what Lauren is up to, you should. His videos are super awesome. It's Unraveling the Pattern, right, on YouTube.
Yep, youtube.com/unraveling the pattern.
Link in description below.
Yeah, and I'm on Twitter, of course. I've got a Discord. I'm on, I don't know, everywhere. Instagram. It's not about me. I'm here to talk with you guys about the Wheel of Time. But there are so many amazing content creators, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. You know, everyone's so awesome. And I love helping people. So any other content creator who might be hearing this, you know, I enjoy doing the Black Towers intro and that little teaser for you guys. I love doing that kind of stuff for people. So yeah, just hit me up on Discord or Twitter, and I will be happy to help out.
Love doing that. Yeah.
And as proof of your love helping out, you're still in the middle of going through, well, I say in the middle, you're probably still towards the very beginning of doing your Wheel of Time 101 series on YouTube that is built to be spoiler-free. It's built to be a tool that people can use. I mean, they're just enjoyable videos, period, anyway. But it's a really good tool if you have a friend or family member that's like, well, maybe I want to get into this, but I'm not sure. And you want to kind of give them a chance to see some videos and hear kind of what the Wheel of Time is about without spoiling too much for them. It's a great series to go and watch and check out. And Lauren, as we've said 1,000 times, and we'll say 1,000 times again from the mountaintops of Dragonmount, it's an amazing series. It's just fantastic. And I don't know many content creators that don't reference it in one form or another.
Yeah. Thank you. I love movies and TV, and I can't wait for the show, as all of us obviously are so excited for it.
Good.
But another thing I really enjoy. Show? Yes. Well, so I heard. Well, we'll see. I'll believe it when I see it. One of the things I love when I watch TV and movies is to then get online and discuss it with people who also enjoyed it, or to, you know, like in the case of Game of Thrones, I hadn't originally read the books, and so I enjoyed reading or watching videos that kind of helped expand that for me, and eventually that led me to reading the books. And so my goal with my channel is eventually I want to talk about all the spoilers on my channel. But right now, the Wheel of Time fan community, everyone's sort of doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that when the show comes out, well, I hope that it will be good enough that will attract a lot of new people who aren't going to bother reading this huge epic series, you know, and so they're going to want some sort of resource where they feel safe. If you even Google the name of a character, you're going to get spoilers in the autofill, right? And so that's a concern that a lot of people have. So for me, I thought, okay, what we need to do is come up with some sort of resource where people can feel comfortable and learn about the Wheel of Time without having the story spoiled. So that's kind of what this WOT 101 series is. My goal is to try to sort of define different terms that I doubt the show will spend hours and hours of exposition doing. I hope they don't, at least, right? Talk about some of the history, talk about some of the genealogies, talk about the map, all these different details that you might not get from the show. And then hopefully I can turn that into a weekly review of the episodes as we go. But
I love it.
So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh shit, I need that right now, underneath Lauren's section in the show notes or description below, whether you're listening to this or watching it on YouTube, there will also be a link to the to Lauren's playlist for Wheel of Time 101, currently at 16 videos. So there's already a fair amount of content. What is content? Content to go and consume and enjoy. Andrew's
having problems with words tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm back on brand after many weeks of actually being able to speak English.
So tonight we've got a very exciting topic. It's something that we're actually really excited to have Lauren on with and see his unique perspective. Before we jump into that, do we have a spoiler warning?
Our live listeners, let's see. We're going to pick Prince Adeline's boyfriend. Give me a number between 1 and 4, 5, 6, 7. Give me a number between 1 and 7. It can be 1 or 7 or any number in between.
Let's do this.
4.
Number quattro. Quattro.
This is going to be, spoiler warning, number 4. This comes from our fantastic friends over at the Gleeman's Apprentice podcast. This is going to be your super tainty, super NSFW spoiler warning for tonight's episode. Listen and enjoy and be filled with the taint.
The Black Tower stands fully erect.
When the tower is bulging at full erectness, you must protect yourself from tainty spoilers.
Your spoiler condom must cover the immense girthiness of all 14 books of Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time.
With an itty bitty tip at the top for the prequel New Spring.
If your condom is too small, you will get tainty spoiler jizz all up in your eye.
Or ears. You have been warned.
Like, at what point in time did our spoiler warnings become a string of dick jokes?
I mean,
is there any other kind?
It's not off brand.
It's not. I don't hate it.
It fits.
You know, getting it in my eye is one thing, but in my ears, that's where I draw the line.
Yeah,
hearing is my bread and butter. I can give up sight in at least one eye. All right. So with
have two eyes.
Yeah. With everybody properly warned with this fantastic spoiler condom. Shut up, Marshadi. let's get into the topic. And Josh, what is our topic? Which kind of hilariously enough was also suggested by Prince Adeline's boyfriend.
Hey. So today's topic, we're going to be discussing the Wheel of Time. Duh. But the particular facet in this large gem of the Wheel of Time will be the Wheel of Time and its references to our modern age, our modern day and age, or how it interacts with our modern day.
How would it play out in our age?
What would happen? Is what
we're going for.
Oh, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah. So we're going to take the Wheel of Time as we know it. I was just seeing that
Andrew was paying attention.
This time I was. I caught this one. So we're going to take the Wheel of Time and we're going to superimpose it on our current age, which obviously is going to come with some differences to the allusions we get to the first age in the books. Because at the time Robert Jordan was writing these references, you know, people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and his massive dick rocket did not exist, but now they do. So how will the Wheel of Time work in the first age, aka our age? And yeah,
I've got a real, like, a good kicker to this, right? One of the biggest jokes is that, you know, the book series would only be two books long if everybody actually, like, communicated. So with the ability to text each other, would there still be miscommunications?
Yeah, well, I they would only text like poop emojis and stuff, right? They wouldn't.
getting a text from Matt would be interesting.
My question, because we got to establish some rules here. Are we saying that the story as we know it takes place right now during the Third Age? Like, is the One Power a thing right now? Or are we just talking about the stuff that leads into the eventual Third Age? Age of Legends?
I think it is the story as we know it, if it were right now. So I will have to say, let's say the One Power is a thing. But nobody else knows about it except for, I don't know, it's the secret society thing. It's the Illuminati. Yeah, okay. The Illuminati are channelers.
Ooh.
It's a conspiracy, man.
And Rand is from where?
Preston, Idaho.
Perfect. Isn't that where Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah.
So, we gotta cleanse the tank.
Gosh.
Tina, just get in the lane. Go.
So are we saying Rand is Napoleon Dynamite? I kind of feel like we have to say Rand is
now.
Rand.
He is,
they both kind of have red hair, so
I mean, and they're both tall.
And what's his brother's name? Kip? Is that his name?
Kip.
That's Matt. Is that Matt?
Try and hit me. try and hit me, Rand. I said, see what happens when you come try and hit me.
I can just see Rand now, like, texting Egwene, about to break the last seal, LOL. The treaty's just a Google Doc.
So the White Tower, is that, I'm trying to think of, like, a female organization in our day.
There's a lot, but it also might be kind of tough to think of a comparable one that, like, rolls right off the head.
Yeah.
Because like Prince Edelin, like, kind of indicated, it would be like, think of the Aes Sedai and White Tower as like a government agency. But to be the White Tower, they kind of have to be a non-state actor. They have to kind of be an NGO, a non-governmental organization, to kind of impose what they do across borders without, like, oh, this country just invaded us.
It is kind of like the Illuminati. It's like a secret society that kind of runs everything.
So yeah. Maybe like the Vatican, but, you know, not the Vatican.
Yeah.
But the same kind of idea. It's like a sovereign area that still is kind of part of a country, but has its own kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We just got in the chat the UN. That could be kind of like the UN.
I could kind of see that.
I could go for that.
I could definitely see the blue Aja, the white Aja, you know, maybe you get the yellow Aja. Pretty much all the Ajas, except for maybe
all the Ajas are represented. I mean, you got the World Health Organization. You know, maybe the White Tower is not a single entity. Maybe we've got, you know, the World Health Organization is the yellow Aja, and you've got are, you know, peacekeeping troops in the UN that could be the green Aja, or
they're not in the UN. They're like amalgamated. So, but maybe like
exactly
something like the Security Council, but not regulated down to like five core, like, founding members. I think they have like an overall security body. I should know more about the UN. I studied this shit in college.
I don't even know what it stands for. No, I'm kidding. The
Unnerds.
Someone is asking, who is Tam? I like to think Tam is Uncle Rico.
Ooh. Okay.
How much you want to bet I can shoot this arrow over the mountains?
Okay, so the UN has six core sections. They have the General Assembly, the Security Council, the Economic and Social Council, the Trusteeship Council, the International Court of Justice, and the Secretariat.
Oh, dude.
Okay. That's basically the Ajas. Yeah.
Those are the Ajas right there.
So imagine our world as it exists, which isn't hard because it exists.
I'm there, man. I'm with you.
How does Rand unite everyone? Because, boy, that sounds like an impossible task.
Do you know, this is an apt conversation to have, too, though, because you've literally got Napoleon Dynamite from Preston, Idaho, coming out of nowhere and being like, I have to lead all of you to the last battle. Gosh, you know, and like nobody's going to take him serious. Yeah, nobody's going to take him seriously. Oh. He's going to have one or two victories, like at the talent show, that are by and large, in comparison to the rest of the world, fairly small. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's one of the things. Like in the series you read, there's not necessarily a universally known and not technically universally accepted, but an overall majorly accepted section of like prophecy kind of deals.
Right. So that's, I mean, obviously it doesn't work very well because like right now we're separated by so many belief systems and so many, I mean, even continents in the Wheel of Time, most things happen in one place. Well, one continent.
But I mean,
we can do it like every alien invasion movie and say that he's only got to unite the United States.
That's all that really matters.
Have you seen the meme?
Yeah.
Have you seen the meme of like the globe according to aliens?
Yeah.
And it's only the United States and Alaska.
Yeah.
And
New York. Yeah.
Well, and I loved in Independence Day, you know, at the end when they're sending around the Morse code and who is it? It's the Americans. Ah, well, it's about time they do something. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Hollywood, come on.
They always target the White House. It's like,
well, I mean, that's a popular choice.
Yeah. So the White House is probably the columned area where the sword that is not a sword would be kept, I suppose.
Ooh,
I would think like Fort Knox.
Oh, Fort Knox. Yeah, that's a better like impenetrable fortress.
It's impenetrable until it's not.
Is it the Cheyenne Mountain Complex?
The fucking Napoleon Dynamite just waltzes in there.
I'm going to say the Stone of Tear is the Cheyenne Mountain Complex.
Nice.
So NORAD, you know, minus the early warning that they do for people in the tracking of Santa Claus.
And Kalindor is really just an intercontinental ballistic missile.
it's the ICBM to rule all ICBMs.
Okay.
So
that's the thing. Like, how does a massive army of Trollocs, because when I think our world and I try to think of where the Trollocs would come from, all the way to the north doesn't make sense because it's, you know, the Arctic. And then all the way to the south doesn't make sense because it's Antarctica.
Well, that's what you've been led to believe.
That's what I've been led to believe.
Have you ever read Brandon Sanderson's Alcatraz and the Evil Librarian series?
I have.
I don't know if they're like kids' books, but basically
I've heard of it. But
they're pretty fun. The concept is librarians rule the information, and there's this like secret society of librarians that are keeping the truth hidden. There's like an entire continent that exists on the earth that no one knows about because it's not on any of the maps. No one acknowledges its existence.
I love that.
This idea, it's like, you know, like everyone says Paris, France exists, but have you been there? Kind of a thing, you know, like how do you know if you haven't been there? Maybe Paris, Idaho exists.
I was kind of thinking like maybe there's Paris, Texas. You ever played Gears of War on Xbox?
I haven't, but I'm a little familiar with it.
So like the whole like trope is that there's this other race of creatures that have been living underneath the crust of the earth. You know, kind of one of those like almost hollow earth kind of theories.
I was about to say, are we doing hollow earth right now? Because come out.
Yeah, like the lizard people. I mean, come on.
Well, they're
here. The Anunnaki are Trollocs.
They just have like the really creepy smiles that, you know, TV catches every once in a while, apparently. And Justin Bieber's flickering yellow eyes and Joe Biden's really super sharp teethy grin that's definitely obviously photoshopped.
We already know that Murdral exists. That's why when you take the trash out in the middle of the night, you have to sprint back inside because something is there.
Yeah, you feel it on the back of your neck when you're running up the stairs from a dark basement.
So is the Chupacabra really just a Drakkar?
Yeah.
But like blood is considered part of the soul?
Yes. No, that's one of those things that we didn't understand about the Chupacabra. Now we know.
So is Bigfoot just the Ogier?
Bigfoot is Shadar Haran, right? Or Shadar Haran.
A very hairy Shadar Haran.
A very hairy.
Shadar Haran with minus the razor.
Nice.
No, so, I mean, there's a lot of parallels. And you know what I love about this, too, is that, you know, we could talk about this for hours because, obviously, this is the world in which Robert Jordan lived. And this is the world in which he semi-based the series on.
Yeah.
So I like that we can point out some of these. It's like the episode we recorded last week where we talked a little bit about some of the cultures that went into the story and world building.
Mythological and legendary figures.
Yeah. And I really, really love that because it puts it into perspective for me. So we made the point earlier about the geography of Randland being completely different than the geography here. Okay, cool. But I still think there is a rich diversity of cultures, belief systems, and things like that. Now,
yes,
everybody always praises the light, and everybody's got it narrowed down to the creator and the dark one, like, which is, I think, is a lot more harmony than the world has ever seen.
Right.
I mean,
but even with that,
it makes sense for the world we're reading. This is all geographically close areas. These are all areas that share a lot of very serious and traumatic common history. And there's a pervading, the light versus dark thing, with the exception of like white cloaks, doesn't really come off for most people as a religious belief. It's more of a kind of legend, more of a kind of just folklore. True. Kind of thing, closer than it is a religious following. You know, they say walk in the light as a generic kind of just don't be a dick kind of thing, where we have religion. So I always read Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time as opposed to somebody else's Wheel of Time as a world that's much more focused on harmony, and the differences aren't racial, they're not religious, they're not militaristic, they're cultural. The differences from place to place are more cultural than anything else. Right. And you have your very stark different examples like Sahara and the Shanchan.
Yeah. I personally think that Robert Jordan started out building his world with religions, and then he was like, that's too much, that's too complicated. And he like toned it back. You know, like the White Cloaks really do feel like an overzealous religion. They feel like zealots. The
Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah. And even in the first book, though, he talks about the evil of Shadar Logoth coming from Mordeth. And I feel like he was trying to do some comparisons to the White Cloaks and how they smelled off and how,
sure,
you know, they were like similarly zealous in trying to be so good and separate themselves so much from the Dark One that they became their own kind of evil. Like, I feel like he was kind of going in a weird religious thing with that, and then he just decided, nah, not worth it.
Well, look, you know, at
Massima. Stick to culture.
Like, he kind of paints Massima as this guy that's like a prophet, you know, the prophet of the dragon that's trying to establish this we must worship the dragon reborn ideology.
Right.
And I think pretty much universally everybody's like, the dude's fucking crazy.
Right. Although you could see, you know, speaking of the fourth age, moving down the line, you could see that turning into religions where the dragon is worshipped as like the savior or whatever, right? So
true.
It's almost like this was a time of everyone was so unified in the Age of Legends. This terrible thing happens that breaks the world apart, but the belief system more or less stays the same. And then after the events of the third age, that's when you get into another division of religion and culture, I would imagine.
Well, you have like a biblical reference there with Rand, you know, going up on the mountain and then coming back down much calmer with these kind of like ideological kind of guidelines and sayings and stuff to give people. So,
oh yeah, I didn't even think of that. The whole like Moses coming off the mountain thing.
I literally just thought of it.
How did I never think of that? Yeah, how did I never think of that comparison? That's interesting.
And he went up upon the dragon mount, and he came back down, well, sane-ish. He compartmentalized his madness. He was
transcended, as it were.
Bodhisattva, as we learned from Ryan.
Bodhisattva. No, you know, one of the things that I love, though, is that it's easy to look at a story from a faraway land and a faraway galaxy and say, ah, yes, a young teenager rose to power and conquered the world. But no, stop and think about it for a second. take, you know, we made the joke about Napoleon Dynamite, but most intelligent, driven, motivated, capable kid from any backwater town. And it's going to be a very tall order to unite the world in any measurable sense in order to unify them to fight against a single enemy.
Well, puts it, you have to have that,
because we even think about, yeah.
And the world has to agree this is the biggest enemy we're facing. I mean, we already see that the world won't agree about global warming with empirical evidence.
Yeah, so, or vaccines, or
yeah,
or yeah, all kinds of things.
And, yeah. So how do you get so many, an entire globe to agree on an overarching evil unless it's literally erupting from the ground like Gears of War?
In front of you.
Or if it's, War if it's of the Worlds, something, or something that, like that.
Yeah.
This is you why know, I and, think and, the invention of the pattern, or this creation of the pattern that Robert Jordan came up with, this is so brilliant, because he basically said, no, there is this thing, call it a deity or call it a god or whatever you want, but there's this thing that's predetermining how things will go so that everything is set up. So even when you think it's not going to work, the threads align and it works. And that's the only way it did work for Rand. As a matter of fact, you could argue Rand really didn't have any success uniting anyone until he realized, I'm Tavirian, I can take advantage of this. And he kind of said, pattern, take the wheel. That's how I think of it. You know?
Pattern, take the wheel.
Or wheel, take the pattern. I don't know. But, eventually like he kind of became Zen, and he was like, oh, I am the pattern's tool. I'm going to get there. And he just showed up and he did what he needed to do. The first time he went to Tarvalen was after that experience, right? Before then, he was too scared to go there. And he just walked in there like nothing. and he wasn't even scared. You know, I mean, obviously, he knew the pattern was in charge at that point.
And we can even say something like, okay,
my life is guided by a superior agenda.
Let's take, and again, this is not a political statement, okay? This is just an illustration to prove my point. And I only give that disclaimer because I know anytime you start saying some of these buzzwords, people start going, yeah, well, rah, rah, rah. No, yeah. Stop. Greta Thunberg is a young teenager who addressed the UN, okay? And look at that. There are some people that are hailing her as a hero, and there are other people that are saying, you know, she's worthless, whatever. Again, you've got a young teenage person or an adolescent person. I don't know how old she is. Who addressed the world.
18 or older.
Addressed the world. Literally.
Right.
I mean, now, she doesn't have the word power. She doesn't have, you know, the armies of several nations behind her. But even if she did, like,
that's she doesn't have Tavirin, but she does have the Twitter.
The Twitter, the Twitter Baron. Twit Baron? I like that. Twit Baron. No, it's
why are we tweeting at Baron?
I don't know, man. I just work here.
So let's say that Rand, Napoleon Dynamite, is the Greta Thunberg, whatever it is, and he unites the people somehow. You know, he addresses the UN, he does what he has to do, he gets the Ajahs in sync. So where does the last battle take place? If we're to assume that the Arctic is actually the Blight, and we just are told that's where Santa lives and it's icy, but in reality it's not.
Barren, squishy, and decaying.
Right. Okay, so is the Blight somewhere north? Is it, like, what's up there?
Shell Goal would have to be either in, like, Canada, Russia, or, like, Norway. Like, one of those areas that actually has land masses that are very near to the Arctic.
Santa is Someshta. He's the nymph.
Nice.
Instead of the green man, we Santa have the jolly red man.
Yeah, nice. I can see that.
Well, I mean, it's just the pattern as the story goes, right? You have the green man. Now you've
just
got
see Santa. Now you've walked into the wrong ho-ho house. Candy cane shotguns.
And so you know, they go up to the North Pole, right, to seek the eye of the world, Santa's workshop, which holds the power to create literally billions of toys. Okay. See how legend fades to myth and myth fades.
It's because it's pure Psydeen. That's why he can do it. That the elves are born of pure Psydeen.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's really one of those big birthing pools, and we never even realized it.
That's right.
Gross.
There's placenta everywhere.
The night Santa went crazy. The night Saint Nick went insane. That was the night that Aganor broke out, and they were like, ha ha. And he was like, oh, hell no.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Okay, let's talk about, without dividing up everybody, who are the Forsaken in our current day and age? You mentioned Jeff Bezos. I like that a lot. I like semi-L. The idea.
He's semi-L.
Yeah, he's like
semi-L is Bezos.
Yeah.
But see, with the advent of Twitter and the tantamount pseudo-worshipping of popular figures, I don't think so much that... I think about half of the Forsaken would still pursue like political power. But I think the other half would see that they could have a lot more or just as much influence over people's minds by being popular figures. Like, just think of how much the media. Yeah, like
Tom Cruise, that's fine.
Tom Cruise, Beyonce, the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Like, I could see Grendel all day with the Kardashians, with all the plastic surgery and the pretty faces and everything. Like, oh, God. Lanfear would probably be like top Victoria's Secret model if she wanted to be out in the public or something like that. Like, it would be so much easier to be so influential in our age than it ever was in the Third Age.
Is it bad that all the Forsaken would likely be content creators of some type or another?
Yes. Absolutely. I think that's what I'm trying to say is
PewDiePie is Demodred.
No.
That's no perfect. Markiplier is
Demodred. Markiplier.
Oh yeah. Subtly sweet, but whenever you look deep, he has a very dark side.
Or that's could. Right.
He did say he was gonna kill Ethan during Unus Honest, so
see. And I feel like Asmodean would have like a music review channel or something.
Masana would run adamandeve.com.
I think Asmodean is like Kanye West. Maybe.
Oh my God, that's too perfect. That's too perfect.
You just see Asmodean now with this harp on the cover of Views from the Six with Drake.
Oh God, with like some of the stupid things that Kanye has like published musically, you know, I could just see Asmo being like, this is music from another age. You wouldn't.
Yeah, he's so full of himself, and everyone's like,
right?
Well, he always plays sad music, so maybe he's like a gender bent version of Taylor Swift.
Yes. like that. Hey, that's, yeah. What is gender? Like, any of the Forsaken could be swapped too.
Yeah, this is true.
Lanfear could be Chris Hemsworth.
It happened twice. Hey.
Ishmael is Rush Limbaugh.
That's good.
Oh, that means we got about 1,000 years before we have to deal with him again.
At least.
Oh, he could be spun out at any time.
That's true. That's true. Whenever the pattern deems him necessary.
Or his body can just be snatched up by the Dark One. Now he's in Sean Hannity or something.
There you go.
now I just have Billy Zane as Ishmael. Just lose. You don't understand. They're turning the frogs gay.
Every once in a while,
the freaking frogs gay.
Is this Winter Dragon the Alex Jones cut?
Okay.
Now I want to take a clip of Alex Jones and make his eyes light up.
Is Alex Jones is Alex Jones on what's the service where you can donate Cameo? Money and Cameo, is he on Cameo?
Well,
I don't know, but Billy Zane definitely.
I thought you were going to say OnlyFans. I don't want to see Alex Jones OnlyFans.
No, that's not. No, Billy Zane is on Cameo, and we definitely need him to.
Grendel is on OnlyFans.
To do that would be awesome. Sure.
Who would Mogideon be?
We wouldn't know because she wouldn't be famous.
Like, so she, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
That's Masana, actually.
Yeah, that would be Masana. No, oh, God. Who would? Yeah, we wouldn't know who Mogideon was.
Like, Kellyanne Conway. Real, like, someone said Kellyanne Conway. Yeah. I like that.
Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, I agree. I think she would be hidden. She wouldn't be, like, no one would know who she is. She would be influencing things behind the scenes.
So, but again, that just stacks the deck even harder.
Agenor's Larry King.
Against that just stacks the deck even harder against Napoleon Dynamite. I mean, look what's happened to different people that have come out in the last couple decades and said, oh, I believe this, and they get absolutely decimated in media and social media. It's like, if someone doesn't like you, and where we've just established numerous names and personalities as Forsaken who have the ability to influence massive bits of information, like, now think about that. Country Bumpkin Napoleon Dynamite has to defeat Alex Jones and the super team of super buddies.
Ravine would be Bill Cosby. 100%.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, no.
Queen Elizabeth, would you like a pudding pop?
A pudding.
You know, Queen Elizabeth would have to be like more gays. For
this
sure.
Actually put things into perspective. Because when you said that he's just some country bumpkin and these are like the most influential people, Caitlyn Jenner, oh no. Our Arengar. That's a good one. That fits right in with the Kardashians too.
Perfect. Yeah, there's the link right there.
Grandal,
the Illuminati is just Caitlin the Forsaken.
Oh shit!
I was gonna say, you know, like, think about Napoleon Dynamite and then these super influential people, some podunk kid from Idaho. They don't even care about him. They don't think of him as a threat. That kind of helps put things in perspective with Rand versus the Forsaken, like.
Just one random Twitter user with like 30 followers tweeting hateful comments at Kanye West.
Right, or doesn't even know how to use Twitter. He's got like a flip phone, you know? Like,
he's still using the T9 predictive text.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, S. You know, to get an S, you got to press 4 or 5 times. You know,
the little fat Buddha statue is one of the old phones that you could turn sideways and slide up, and it had the full QWERTY keyboard.
Nice.
I think I still got one of those, like, right here in my desk. No shit. I'm going to be disappointed if I don't. No, I probably don't.
So okay. Would that make, like, all of the heroes of legend and stuff, would they be, like, closer akin to, like, DC and Marvel heroes?
Yeah, for sure. Well, so that's what I was going to say, though, is, like, if you have Napoleon Dynamite, who's nobody. He's just this kid from Idaho. The Forsaken are like, who's nobody? Who cares? But in the back of their mind, they're like, he used to be Superman. Like, we knew him when he was Superman. You know, that's why at the beginning, they're so hesitant to approach him. Because I always wondered, why didn't they just go after him right at the beginning and just kill him?
That adds a depth there.
Clip his wings before he even has a chance to try to fly. And they, you know, they did stupid stuff like send Greyman and ridiculous things like that. But they never really went after him. I mean, Agenor and Belthamol, but they didn't know he was the dragon at the time. They thought there was random people at the eye. So it makes sense if you're like, well, you know, he was Superman. He basically had no weaknesses. He was the dragon. He was Luz Theron. None of them were brave enough to take him on like that. Yeah. Anyway, I like thinking of Napoleon Dynamite as
I like what Gleeman puts in, and it kind of started a discussion. Uno, Jack Black or Samuel Jackson?
Yeah, Jack Black is more
Sam Jackson.
He's like herein or something. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a buddy, like a fun person to be around in the Wheel of Time. Just
what
hang out
if
with.
Jack Black could be like Tom?
Yeah, Tom. Okay.
Tom, like you know that. What though?
Like secretly badass, very musically
very
inclined.
Musical. weirdly, yeah, tell Van into weirdly like spry for how big he is.
And that's what I was just going to say. If you watch his TikTok, Jack Black has a TikTok.
Oh, yeah. I've
that dude it. Is mobile. Like he's very. Jumping and flipping and doing the splits. And that dude, he will trick you. So maybe he is Matt's horse thief.
Yeah, Tel Vannin. Is that his name? Vannin?
Tel Vannin.
Yeah.
It sounds right, which is code for I don't remember to say if it's wrong.
Well, they just always make the comment that he's so big, he's so large, that it's surprising that you would never think that he could move like that.
That's true.
Yeah, I always thought that was some, because you remember back when Lanfear played the fat lady in the Aiel Waste? What was her name? Kylie or something? Kaylee?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, and they would talk about that. Like she had a weirdly melodious voice and walked very lightly for someone with that many fat rolls. I thought that Vannin was going to turn out to be some Forsaken in disguise with the same thing going on. But
nope. All right. Glee Man Twitch nailed this one. Dave Grohl is definitely Tom. I'm down with that one.
So is Valen Luca just like the owner of Barnum and Bailey's?
He's P.T. Barnum, but not the real life version. Well, maybe the real life. He's like on a spectrum of Hugh Jackman P.T. Barnum and real life P.T. Barnum. He's like in the middle between those two, because I don't think he's as evil as the real P.T. Barnum. as benevolent as Hugh Jackman.
Now I just kind of want Matt to be like James Franco.
Yeah.
A little too popular for the metric we're going for, but.
Yeah, like who's somebody who's famous but doesn't want to be, but also loves it at the same time?
That's I mean, Kurt Cobain.
Ooh.
That was a sad ending, though. That wasn't a happy ending.
Yeah. What's her name? Is Tuan? Kurt Cobain's Jennifer. What's her name?
Her name. Courtney Love.
Yeah, Courtney Love is Tuan.
Jesus Christ.
Oh no. I mean, Tuan and Courtney Love are equally crazy, so sure. I'm good with that.
Well,
but I mean, okay, so now it's that just
fan casting cast, with extra steps now.
It is. You know, you've got Napoleon Dynamite taking over the world. God, that's a tall order.
Well, he never actually takes over the world. He takes over. So Rand takes over Tyr. He takes over Ilion. He takes over Andor. So the majority of the Randland world that we know, and the rest he just convinces because. By that point, they're like, okay, yeah, we bite. You're the dragon. We're picking up what you're putting down. We'll kind of work with you until you're dead because we don't want you to kill us all.
Well, Rand did have the Aiel as well. And until the Shan-Chan landed, he had Terrabon. So, I mean, at any given time, well, I guess at the most, Rand probably held about 70% of the known world in his
good landmass. Yeah.
I mean, Shara is like China, right? He never really had Shara.
He never really had Shan-Chan.
But of the like main continent.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Of the known world. When you've got our Rand land from the Aiel Waste to Terrabon and from Tyr to, you know, the borderlands. You know, at any given time, he never ruled over any of the borderlands.
But they all kind of just agreed to follow him, right? I mean,
they tested him. They did their little test.
Like, okay, I will listen to you, but they seriously followed the Crane banner. So
I'm gonna punch you in the face and see what you do.
I like that. I like the suggestion as Kurt Cobain is Asmodee and Keanu Reeves is Matt. I like that a lot.
I could see that. I think Keanu, I would say young too Johnny mellow. Depp is Matt.
Mm.
Keanu's too mellow. Keanu could be a good parent.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
I could see young Johnny Depp as being Matt.
Like, if you just started force feeding Keanu protein and only let him live in the gym, for like the next year.
No, it's we've already seen this. If you go watch Bill and Ted Face the Music, you get to see a jacked Keanu.
Oh,
that's Perrin right there.
The guy Ryan Reynolds. Like, Ryan really? Reynolds is Matt, maybe.
Oh,
ooh,
I like it.
See that? I think Ryan Reynolds should be an Ashimon, though. He should be tainted.
I could see him being Dashiva.
He could be a good Dashiva.
I think I've said this before that I want Ryan Reynolds to play Dashiva now.
But he has to be wearing the Deadpool suit when he does.
Yeah, he has to wear a Deadpool mask. But play Dashiva.
Do you guys ever watch? Have you ever seen The Last Man on Earth? I love that show. It was canceled pretty quick, but Will Forte is the main character. Well, anyway, the concept is basically that he's the last dude on Earth, and then eventually he finds like 6 or 7 other living people on the entire planet.
Right, right, right.
But then every once in a while, what they would do is they would just bring in this, like, big star, and they'd bring him in to a scene for like just long enough to get their face shot off or whatever. It was always really funny. So they would have these like, they'd have these hilarious cameo appearances, pretty big actors, but they would only be in the show for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. It was and they did it quite frequently. It was pretty funny. That anyway, funny. I can't remember where I'm going with this, but I was thinking it would be great if the show did something like that, where they brought in big actors just to kill them off. Or, you know, like Beelzebub, for example, he's basically not in the book, in the first book. He shows up, gets killed.
Yeah.
It'd be great if that was a pretty big name actor. They did something like that.
Or like, well, in Deadpool 2, they did that too with the X-Force. They were like,
I haven't seen that one. I need to see
that. Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I can't believe it. Because it's okay.
I don't want to say anything.
Brad Pitt got paid a cup of coffee for like a 6 seconds appearance.
That's awesome. True. See, I love stuff like that. I think they should do more of that.
Brad Pitt was the Vanisher. Did you spot Matt Damon?
I remember he was in Thor Ragnarok.
Matt Damon is also in Deadpool 2.
I don't remember seeing it.
Now
I want Angelina Jolie to show up as random Aes Sedai with the name starting with S or A.
Oh my God.
Right. Sierran or whatever. And then
yeah.
She's in one scene in the background.
Yes. I want that so bad.
Then like they pick a random like dominatrix kink talker to play like Sierran.
Adalorn Aes Sedai in the live chat's going nuts. She wants Angelina Jolie to play her. So you can be Angelina.
I'm okay Adalorn. With that.
So we're like going back to like organizations.
Oh yeah, like, back to our topic.
What would the Black Tower be?
Ooh.
Like in our world, if you had to pick like an organization or group that. God. Would be, so we're talking about like the Wheel of Time story happening in our age. So they'd have to be relatively new.
It's kind of like if Texas seceded from the Union.
Yeah. I think that would still be like too big for the Black Tower. Like South Sudan would be like closer to like size and like not like a newness, but.
I hate to say it, but I think the Black Tower would be like a very well trained and equipped paramilitary group.
SpaceX.
SpaceX, I mean, force.
There's a paramilitary group out here in Utah. Actually, Lauren, they're down by you. Mm-hmm. And they've got this huge compound, and those guys are scary.
Yeah.
That sounds like it fits.
If there's a zombie apocalypse, that's where I'm going.
Blackwater. They could have been Blackwater because they had the scandal, and that could have been Taim.
Mm. Exactly. So like I feel like it's like a mercenary paramilitary group because it's all men from the
Black
Tower nations.
Would be Blackwater. I forgot what they rebranded themselves as now. It's still the same company, but they changed their name.
I hate to say that
after they got it does busted fit. Committing war crimes in Afghanistan.
Okay, but who is Loghain? Who's Loghain then? Because Loghain is kind of resisting the organization. Mm. Right, to some degree.
He's the new guy in charge of Blackwater. He's the guy that changed the name, Blackwater's name.
He's probably the guy that said we should change the name and wanted to take charge. And that's where our world differentiates from Third Age.
There you go.
Because in the story, he would actually take over and make them a respectable organization, but they probably still do all of the same stuff.
Hmm.
Right. So we talked a little bit about Trollocs, like Shadow Spawn in general. What kind of things exist now that would be good Shadow Spawn? I like the idea of some like scientific an animal experiment in gone wrong. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Karens.
Nice.
Karens and what's the male equivalent?
Kevins.
Kevins. Kevins are just Karens the dark friends. Karens and yeah, Kevins.
Elida is Karen Sedai, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Maximum over Karen.
I work Karen with a Karen. Squared.
Aw, like a lady whose name is Karen and she's actually a sweet lady? Or...
Like a stereotypical Shadow Spawn.
She watches the show, be careful.
Yeah, right.
Everybody watches
Black Tower. I think a lot of them would be cryptids because like even in Ranland, a lot of them, except for the Borderlands, are considered like fairy tales. They're not considered real. So like when you look at your cryptids, like the Skinwalkers, the Wendigos, which if you're superstitious and I'm saying it, I'm sorry. Things like that, the Chupacabra. There's like a whole myriad across all of the different cultures for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch an X-Files episode.
If you've ever watched
any of those. Yeah.
You ever watched the movie Tremors? That could be like the adult Jumara.
Ooh, Jumara. Yes.
Except they may not be as easily dealt with by TNT, but they may be because, you know, LAN didn't really have like bundles of TNT to light and throw.
It's true. You know, they also could be like
Trollocs are in the WWE.
Baby Jumara.
It's time to play the game, and it's just an eagle faced Trolloc coming out, spitting beer into the air or water into the air. The Loch Ness monster.
Here's the monster Trollocs.
From the lake by Mount.
The Trollocs are pro sports mascots.
That's not a costume.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was hard finding work.
So you mean the video where the mascot T-Rex eats the cheerleader was real? They just skipped the cook pot?
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, man.
Oh, speaking of, have you guys seen the new Suicide Squad movie yet?
I haven't yet.
Oh, man. I've heard good things about it. There's a character in it that's this shark man. I'm not familiar with the comics, but it's like this big shark guy. He is absolutely Narg the Trolloc to me. He is so great in it. And he's like really dumb, but thinks he's really smart. And he can't like form sentences very well, but he kind of learns as he goes. And it's
few words work well.
Yeah. I've said this on my channel before, but I want to see a larger variety of Trollocs. I want to see like sea creature Trollocs and lizard Trollocs and not just birds and mammals, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Like biome influenced Trollocs, like I like it. The merfolk
Trolloc. Imagine like a tentacled Trolloc. That would be so freaking cool.
I've seen enough anime to know where this is going.
Wait a minute. No, that's not what I meant.
Instead of throwing
show,
you in the cook
wrong
pot,
show, wrong show. Oh my God.
Okay, so on the flip side, let's say that the story as we know it happens, but they have the technology of today on top of the One Power and everything. So they have things like not just the dragons or the gunpowder in its infancy, but they have, you know, nukes and missiles and
howitzers and
okay, so it's now taking place in the third age, but all of our current tech, things like we talked about cell phones, how would that change the story?
Oh Jesus, like just nuking Trollocs attacking, like I feel like they would just straight up start nuking, like if it was the same level threat that Shadow Spawn posed in the last battle, I feel like we would just have like B-52s and B-2s over the Arctic, just round the clock, dropping hydrogen bombs on the forces of the Shadow.
I like, but maybe they're resistant to that. Maybe that just strengthens
them. And this is
they're like Godzilla.
Yeah, this is
nukes just make them stronger.
Yeah, right.
Okay, God. Now we've got 50-foot
Trollocs attacking. Great. Well, and so you think about it, you know,
Trolloc digivolve to radio Trolloc.
War has changed, right? We no longer have a mass of people on one side and a mass of people on the other side. Now go in and turn each other into hamburger meat.
Yeah.
That's not how war is fought anymore.
Yeah.
They no longer bro fist on the battlefield.
They really don't. It's true.
You get it? Because a group of Trollocs is called a fist. It's funny, yes.
Yeah,
nice.
You're a very funny man. You have very funny jokes. The thing, so how does that change? Do we even have hordes of Trollocs? Or
everybody loves merchandise, and one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbygen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbygen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Jar Podcasts, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbygen.com.
Well, it brings down like the importance and effectiveness of channeling, right? If we have the technology we have now, where we have ICBMs and cruise missiles, missiles that are too classified for anybody to even know about, you know, missiles that have the pinpoint accuracy where they can fly through a specific pane of a window that's, you know, like yay big.
Yeah.
You know, GPS systems to keep people from being lost, you know, LoJack trackers that you can put on your wife so she doesn't get stolen by a rogue group of the IL and you have to hunt her forever. I'm not saying, but on the flip side, don't put LoJack on your wife. Don't do that. That's a super invasion of privacy.
Not without consent.
If she consents, then by all means, you know. But
on the flip side, like the One Power, I think a well-trained Aes Sedai or channeler could stop any of these things. And
could you imagine it wouldn't necessarily be a deflect threat. A nuke? Like an ICBM comes into Demise Wells and the air dome just deflects a nuke.
Right. Or imagine Andral opening a gateway for those things and they turns them right back on the enemy or something. Like there's some pretty cool thing. I feel like
imagine Grendel with compulsion compelling the US and Russia to launch their entire nuclear stockpile against each other. Oh, okay. So, this is terrifying. I don't like this.
Yeah, that's scary.
The One Power does still hold a very valid place in the face of modern warfare if we had it. So, but my question
centers around
do we still have hordes and hordes and endless hordes of Trollocs? Or has the Shadow said technology can make up where our numbers? So we don't have to spend so many resources on you know, just overwhelming with sheer numbers. We can upgrade our technology as well. This is becoming a game of civilization. right? Where's the balance, right?
We're playing Civ 5 or Future Tech. 10 million Trollocs,
or is it more economically responsible and economically viable to have 2 million Trollocs and each of them are armed with, you know, Gatling
mechanized Trollocs. Trolloc tanks.
I love the two things came to mind when you said that. One is I was thinking of Trollocs like in a little like room where they're controlling drones by remote. I was just imagining that. I thought that was funny. And then the other thing is
scenario.
You know that, you know, the Trollocs could be a little bit like kamikaze types where like you know that the orc in the second Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh yeah!
In the two towers, like bomb rushes with the
when he bomb rushes. Like I could imagine Trollocs being used in that capacity to some degree, just to instill terror. Like I think they even do this in the last battle, don't they? Like shooting their bodies at people just to terrify people in neighborhoods and stuff. Like
does Teleron Riad just become cyberspace?
Oh yes,
100%. Yes,
virtual reality.
That means all of the Teleron Riad battles are bouts of cyberbullying.
And we worked with the foundation to make sure this didn't happen.
Egwene was so cyberbullied a bunch and then she ended up like destroying Nasana.
Her string
she got their accounts banned is what she did.
Her string of code was hit by the freaking anti-cheat that Arma uses.
It's kind of more like it's like the Matrix though. Like if you die in VR or in the internet, you die.
If you die in VR, you die in real life.
So, Teleron
like Sword Art Online, right there.
It's a Sword Art Online. That's right. As I was just getting ready, it was SAO. Boom.
That's what they. That's what Ready Player One was missing. People should have actually died in the real world when they were
instead of just losing all their money.
Yeah, or whatever happened.
Or dot hack. Yeah,
that was a good one.
Jesus.
I haven't played that in years. I wonder if they got that in the PlayStation store. Put it on my PS5.
Probably.
Right, fuck you and your PS5.
Hashtag flex.
Hey, I got one too.
Yeah. Where's your PS5, Andrew? Andrew, do you have a PS5, buddy? Andrew.
That's a negative because PC gaming will always be better than any console.
Well, thank you for tuning in to the last episode.
Cross-platform playing is a facade because you can win entire Call of Duty matches just by having a PC and loading before the end.
Oh, man, this is going to be another sidetrack thing here, but I have Demon's Souls on the PS5, and the loading is instantaneous, and it's glorious. That being said, I definitely game on PC more than anything. It's way better.
So Lauren's over here like literally just got the PS5 just for the flex.
You know, it's like, you know what my PS5 is used for? My kids play Minecraft on it.
No. There are so many people crying right now.
You know what the PS5 looks like to me? It just looks like Cell's head. Like perfect Cell, his head just done in a different color.
In his final form.
All right, now we got to figure out Dark One. Like, what is the Dark One? Is the Dark One still the Dark One?
I mean, the easy pop culture reference is Trump, but.
Well, what is?
See, I think he's a better. I think he's a better. Forsaken.
It even made it into the live chat. All right, I mean, it's the easy low hanging fruit to pick.
It is,
which is an easy not target.
I think of him more as a forsaken. He's a forsaken who's so delusional about his own strength and ability that he doesn't see the world
I
think in our world right now we'd have to look at somebody with an abundance of power and abundance of wealth that misappropriates and uses it and treats everyone under them like expendable numbers, and the first one that comes to mind with that for me is Bezos. Trump has a lot of influence and power and money, but he doesn't have nearly as much money as Bezos. He doesn't have the worldwide relied on shipping infrastructure that Bezos does. He doesn't have the big old dick tip rocket like Bezos does, even though we wish he would and just fly off. But
so are we saying Bezos is the Dark One?
I mean, I'm sure plenty of his workers in Amazon warehouses would agree. They're tired of like shipping out 1,000 double-ended massive dildos.
Nablus?
Maybe Nablus.
Because remember, the dark one's got to be outside the pattern. The dark one is not a corporeal.
That's true.
So, it so maybe somebody so the dark one's still the dark Mars. One.
The dark one's still the dark one, in my opinion.
So how does Napoleon Dynamite defeat him? Like what? Just the same way? Does he?
Well, it's
we have the people to support small business and shop locally. That's all.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. To defeat the dark one, you must support local and small business. That is your word of wisdom and from go the Black vegan. Tower. And go vegan. Well, whoa.
Hey, I didn't say I wanted to defeat the dark
baby one. Steps, buddy. Baby steps. Okay. Maybe start with chicken.
Well, I think we solved it. I mean, I think
we did. We solved it. We did it. World peace. Here we come.
You know what this did to me? It made me realize as amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
We got him. We did it.
We got him.
What did Bush say? It was like
mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
mission accomplished.
You know, what this made me realize is as complex and amazing and detailed as Robert Jordan's world is, to build an actual complex world like the one we live in and try to make it fit into good versus evil and like a single guy who saves everything, it's ridiculous. I mean, it is. It's almost laughable to think of it.
It's incredibly laughable.
Would they just be called a conspiracy theorist and a lunatic on Twitter right now? Like, I can go and probably make one tweet right now and probably at least have 3 comments that are like, you're a lunatic.
Well, and that's...
You could get
that's,
canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and, well, and that's please, exactly please what happened. Please cancel my personal Twitter. I 90% of the time, I can't stand to be on Twitter as it is anyway. As much as I love Twitter of time.
That's one of the things that we have to, like, take into account, though. Like, Mazrim Taim and Loghain were both... essentially canceled when they came out as I am the reborn dragon, and they were both defeated and they were both relegated to
I am the dragon reborn, you are fake news.
Exactly. And that's what everybody immediately says now, just another poser, just another false dragon. And so when Rand is like, oh shit, no, I'm actually the dragon, I don't want to say it. I want to do something impossible to prove it to myself. I know. I'll go for Kalimdor.
Facebook lives his ass. Fighting somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Who is Rand fighting on Facebook Live now for everybody to see that goes viral? It's no longer in the sky. It just goes viral on like TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube.
It's there Bigfoot. It's got to be Bigfoot or something like that.
There it is right there. But no, but I mean, like he does something so ridiculous and so impossible that everybody in his group, they're like, dude, we know you're the dragon. It's okay. And he's like, no, it's not okay. I need to do something that is like unquestioningly the dragon.
Right.
And it's interesting too, is that when he is tested by the Borderland nobles, they don't say, we're testing whether or not you're the dragon. They say, we're testing if you're going to save us or kill us. Like, they already know he's the dragon. They're already like, cool, he's the dragon, cool. Now we've got to test him and find out if he's going to save us or if we're going down with the ship. And I really like that distinction.
Yeah. You know, I realized too, obviously there's a lot of like Jesus metaphors with Rand, but some of the like miracles and stuff that he performed, that's how he got a lot of people on his side too.
True.
You know, it wasn't, you know, online, but like, you know, the people were all like, we're starving. And then suddenly all their grain was healed. You know, like that's the kind of stuff that
right
would have to happen now.
I was just you thinking have if, substance, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking if we all started dreaming about Napoleon Dynamite. <You know? laughs> Like he's influencing everyone's dreams now.
I love it. That's what's gonna happen tonight.
I can't think of a better way to like unite people though than suddenly like the entire world having the same dreams. How cool would that be? That's actually a really interesting idea.
Except now it's just like, help us, our Wi-Fi is only at 5 megs down.
we're in the middle of a Great Depression because I can't afford the new iPhone.
And I'm not saying that Elon Musk is anywhere near a messiah figure, but it's just like, oh, what is his satellite internet called? Because I want to say Skynet, but I know it's not it. Starlink. I mean, it might wind up being Skynet. Who knows?
If it is Skynet, direction. We're screwed. All right. Well, Lauren, go ahead and wrap us up. Give us your final thoughts here. Let us know what you're thinking about Wheel of Time in modern days.
Well, I gotta say, I'm glad it didn't take place in this day and age, because we could not come up with nearly as great of a story as Robert Jordan did in the Third Age. But I do like, you know, things like communication or all these things that we complain about in the books, like they have the ability to do that stuff. They just did it.
Sure.
We have cell phones. That doesn't mean we communicate. You know, like at the end of the day, the Wheel of Time is about the characters. It's about the people. And that's what Robert Jordan really nailed on the head. Like he just got it. I feel like characters stayed true to who they were all the time. And
yes,
that was frustrating for us as readers sometimes, but it felt it felt realistic because they were real characters. They were not in a real world, but they were absolutely real. And that's, you know, obviously we're all so excited about the show. That's what I'm always thinking about. That's what they have to nail for me is the characters. Right. I don't care if the world is a little different, if some of the rules of the One Power are a little different. I don't know what they're going to
sure.
do. But if they get the characters wrong, that to me is going to be the biggest travesty. So, you know, despite Robert Jordan's weaknesses, and he knew how to write characters. That's where I'm leaving it.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. And Andrew, what you got for us, brother?
Oh, I mean, on the aspect of it being done in like modern times, yeah, it would just be terrible. It would be Twitter feud after Twitter feud, and we have more than enough of those, even within our niche of the fandom already. It would just be so terrible. And I can't help but think of like the kind of climate change kind of argument in that, you know, just this is an overarching evil that, it might be like man accelerated or created or whatever, but it kind of is the closest semblance to what happens in Wheel of Time that I can think of. And you can't get, you know, half of humanity together on it to actually act on it. And that kind of stuff with the enhanced communication, with the ability to do now, like, I mean, could you imagine had they, from the start of the series, had the ability to do what we're doing now? I'm in North Carolina. Y'all are in Utah. And we're sitting here talking, recording together in real time, that kind of stuff. So even with the enhanced communication, you can't even make the excuse of like whenever all we have is texting and just what I'm trying to say isn't being conveyed by the right connotations of what I'm trying to say. It would just be even more chaos than it already is. But I think it's pretty cool and interesting and incredibly hilarious to try to, you know, like cast different characters as who they would be in our age and, you know, how would different organizations mirror the ones we see. So it's one of those things that's always a fun thought experiment. But I'm more than abundantly happy that this happened in the pages of Robert Jordan's books rather than our actual life.
Yeah,
absolutely. I gotta say, you know, I love this topic a lot because to me it puts into perspective some of the things that Rand and Matt and Perrin and Nynaeve and Egwene had to overcome, had to accomplish. You can't just go out on social media and say, love everybody. And, you know, not everybody's just gonna be like, oh yeah. Hey guys, that's a great idea. We should just be nice to each other. Like you have to have substance behind that. Any, you know, Twitter philosophers are a dime a dozen. and I don't mean to say that as a bad thing. Twitter philosophy is like, yeah, be excellent to each other.
There it is.
It's a great thing. You know, sending out the positive message, it's a great thing to do. But if you ever want to be taken seriously, if that is your goal, if that is what you aspire to be, you have to have substance behind that. Rand was able to produce results, fulfill prophecies, and provide real substance for the circle of people that he was trying to, you know, unite. And that's the difficult thing to do. You know, again, anybody can jump on Twitter and say, hey, love each other. Anybody can do that. But think about the person you hate the most. Apply that to yourself. And that's where the substance comes in. It's not an easy thing to do every day.
Yeah. Rand just had to apply facts. In our age, you have to be, apply facts and be entertaining.
Exactly. Exactly. Good thing we got one of those things down.
I do have to say, though, the pattern did a great job of wiping out a lot of the people who would have turned against him. You know what I mean? True. Like, he couldn't have done it without some sort of, whether, again, if you want to call it creator or divine intervention or just the pattern doing what it was meant to do, I don't know. But
yep.
That was required for him to accomplish his task. Otherwise, he would have just got stepped on. Yeah.
And so when you get those types of things that are happening in the real world versus in the books, you know, it gives me a deeper appreciation for the books to see how the characters have that character integrity. They are the same. They are awesome. We love them. And we can see those characters in the world around us today. So it feels relatable.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. Go and find, you can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at The Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
So I like that, but yeah. You know, so what, Lauren, everyone,
as we close this out, go ahead and remind everybody of the amazing work you do and where you can be found.
So thanks again, you guys, for having me on. This has been fun. I like these sort of hypothetical Wheel of Time conversations. It's a lot of fun. And you guys are so entertaining. You're so much better at this than I am. I love it. I love like, listening to you guys riff off each other.
Yeah, the second YouTuber that said that, and I believe it even less than the last one.
But I, you know, I, I'm, so I'm, thank you guys too. But I love making videos. I love the Wheel of Time. I thought, you know what? One of these days I got to put those two together. That's what I'm trying to do here. A rising tide raises all ships, right? So we're all content creators, and I don't know if we, any of us know what's coming with the show coming out, but I hope that we all rise together. I really do. That's the ultimate goal.
See it coming.
Yes. Nice. That was good. That's good.
The reference that never dies.
Anyway, yeah. So youtube.com/unraveling the pattern. I do spoiler videos, but not as many right now. And it's not that I don't want to. I promise there will be lots of those. As a matter of fact, the next big spoiler video I'm doing is a Battle of Falm breakdown with maps and stuff. And I'm doing that in collaboration with Nablus. But by the way,
that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And we did a Battle of the Two Rivers breakdown. If you haven't seen that, that one was a lot of fun.
It was really good.
That one was really cool. But I am going to be doing more spoiler stuff. But again, I'm trying to kind of build up that library of stuff for new fans, because I know there's just going to be a giant wave of it. But I'm not kidding when I say I want to be doing this for years. I want to make every Wheel of Time video I can think of at some point or another. So yeah, Absolutely. Check out my channel. I focus more on animation and motion graphics and less on talking heads type videos like some of the other content creators do. That's kind of my focus. And so, well, you guys are just better at it. but yeah, please check it out. Thank you guys for having me on. It's been a blast.
Absolutely. Well, we're lucky because generally we have a voice for TV and a face for radio. So
yeah, that's how I feel.
But yeah, seriously, if you've never checked out Unraveling the Pattern, you're missing out on a ton. It's one of the few, if not only, YouTubers that I've seen that focus Wheel of Time that literally, like, I think you skyrocketed with your first video. And for a little while, it was your only video, because you don't just, you know, sit around at the house and do this. You have a job and you do other things, and you're a busy person. And it just is a testament to how great what you do is and how much we love it. And go and check out all of the amazing work that Lauren does. He puts a ton of work into his videos, and it shows for every second that it shows. Every frame shows love and care and earnest interest. And you're one of the most genuine people that I think I have ever met, at least in the Wheel of Time fandom.
It's
fantastic to be able to talk to you again here face to face and have you back on the show. And this time, you know, like I said earlier, we get you all to ourselves.
What is that?
I'm channeling.
All right. But speaking of people that work really well together, you've already heard Nablus mentioned. So on that same train of thought, make sure you go and check out thegreatblight.com. It has a list of all the content creators you could ever want, YouTubers, podcasters, music, artists, all kinds of amazing content creators that are featured there, as well as an ever-evolving wiki that does the opposite of what Lauren mentioned earlier. Right now, if you search a character from the Wheel of Time, even the autofill on Google will spoil you on some stuff. But go to thegreatblight.com and check in there and search for the character, whatever you're trying to see what's going on with. And they have book by book breakdowns of what the character does and what happens with the character. There's nothing else like it on the interwebs. It's amazing to go and check out there. And it also has Nablus's shop that has some really, really dope merch that helps support what the Great Blight does there and his team. And if you happen to be there and see an error or an issue or something that's not quite working right, or something that you just have a suggestion that could be better, towards the top, there is a link where you can provide feedback and suggestions for that. And maybe not on suggestions and feedback, but I mean, honestly, you can if you want, but tell them that, you know, maybe the Black Tower podcast sent you over there to go and check out some stuff. It's pretty dope.
Sure.
And we post our videos when they come out and stuff on the main page there too as well. Lauren, I believe you do as well. Mm-hmm. It's really great. Go and check out that site.
Yeah, and the hope is, I'm actually working with Nablus to have a dedicated Watt 101 page on the Great Blight for newcomers. And fans, awesome. That'll be like a featured page, hopefully in the near future. So again, the goal is to push new people to non-spoilery stuff. That's what we want.
Because we are looking forward to that. we are looking forward to that, Lauren. We want to thank you one more time for being on the show. Thank you so much. You're amazing. We've had absolute blast here. We hope to have you again. Andrew, thank you for being amazing. Live, thank you for being absolutely astoundingly amazing. And everybody else out in the world, thank you for being awesome. Thank you for staying here till the end. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being the coolest people in the world, as we know, as by evidence of listening to this episode.
And thanks again to Prince Ellen's boyfriends for suggesting this topic.
That's right. One of our patrons. He actually
if you want to check out
coins at JordanCon.
Yep. And if you want to check out more of what Prince Ellen's boyfriend has to offer, go and check out the Loyals Book Club podcast. Fantastic work on the podcast, and just a all around great individual themselves. But
lots of fun.
We're gonna wrap it up here. Go and check out New Creations by Jen as well. I'll just insert the pre-recorded plug we have here, but go and check that out. It's the only place you can get your real frosty mugs from a bunch of your favorite Wheel of Time content creators. But we're gonna round out this episode. We don't have Daniel to do his normal outro, so I'm going to punt it off on Josh this time. But for all of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, I have been your Bajan Mihail Andrew.
And I have been your Sorovan Mihail Josh. And in the words of our beloved Amen Khan Mihail, we hope you're having a fantastic evening, afternoon, or morning, whatever it is. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Always running the show.